हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Sorry. So now the Dhritarashtra is sitting. He's heard from Sanjaya, just, you know, chastising him for not behaving appropriately with the Pandavas. But he hasn't heard what Yudhishthir is going to say, and you know what he said, you know, so with the message in the morning. Dhritarashtra is called Vidura. Vidura is giving him wise counsel, you know, because he always has that affection for his brother. He's always hoping one day he'll wake up like that. So then Vidura continues with his counsel here. Wise men do not lament for what is lost, nor do they hanker for the unattainable. They rejoice in virtuous deeds, and they shun sin. The wise understand this world to be temporary and miserable. They recognize God's supremacy and their own position as his servants. All their acts are aimed at pleasing the Lord and achieving his eternal abode. Right? So they're saying in the present, whatever is there, something's been lost, but that doesn't matter. You work with what you have now. Right? If you have it, you work with it. If it gets lost, you work with what you have. You can't work with something that's lost. So lamenting what's lost doesn't bring it back. Working with what you have, that will get you the future. So therefore, because God has created the laws, and so you have to function in the present. And so when you function in the present, you function in goodness. If you lament about the past, that's ignorance. You're hankering for the future, that's passion. You work in the present. Now if you work in present, understanding God's laws, right, and working in such a way to please the Lord, for the Lord's satisfaction, that devotional mood then sets you above the modes, right? It sets you above goodness, because goodness is in the present. So when you use the present to serve the Lord, that puts you in pure goodness. All their acts are aimed at pleasing the Lord and achieving his eternal abode. On the other hand, a fool is proud, even though ignorant, vain, and poor. Fools try to achieve prosperity through sin and hanker after others' property. Resorting to deceit and violence, a fool thinks nothing of hurting others to achieve his nefarious ends. A fool forsakes that which should be obtained and desires that which should not be desired. Right? So Duryodhana already has a big prosperous kingdom. I mean, they're the sitting on the top of the world, technically. But he still has to have what Yudhishthir has. Doesn't matter. So that's the problem. He's a fool because he already has a nice situation. Live on. His sons, you know, like that, it'll go on and there'll be a nice, you know, it'll just go on generation after generation. But because he desires what's not his, because of that sin, because of that envy and jealousy and all these things, all these bad qualities, that will just devour him. And then neither him nor his children nor their children, no one will have, you know, the duties of Kshatriyas. He is faithless, makes no offering to the ancestors, and worships only himself. Arrogant, angry, and harsh of speech, he lacks discrimination and befriends those who should be foes, while hating those worthy of friendship. Failing in his endeavors, he blames others and punishes the innocent. Such men are ultimately destroyed to their roots. Right? So it's not just them, to their roots, everything connected to them, everything that builds that they're standing on. So it's very complete. You know, karma doesn't mess around. Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra well into the night. He tried his best to turn the old king's mind towards virtue and truth. He had nothing new to say to Dhritarashtra. The Kuru Marnak had often heard such teachings. He agreed with everything and even enjoyed hearing it, right? Because he's properly trained. So he actually avoided the truth. This he likes. But when you apply the truth practically, you know, into areas that connect with his son, he can't follow it. If it's areas not connected with his son, just regular running of the kingdom and things like that, he can follow it very well. But when it comes to his son, who is exactly this fool that they're talking about, he supports. But if it's anything else, they're fine. As Vidura spoke, the king recognized his own foolishness and sinfulness, and he freely admitted them. He prompted Vidura to speak more and more, asking question after question. The night ended with Vidura pointing out the certain results that would ensue if the king did not act fairly towards the Pandavas. Right? So it's all good up to this point, but as soon as you bring it to the practical, therefore, act properly with the Pandavas, then it's like, oops. But Dhritarashtra knew he could not find the strength to act upon Vidura's wisdom in this case. Right? If it's anything else, fine. But that's not the problem right now. He knew that even though he wanted to act properly, he would not have the will to cross Duryodhana. He knew that when he sat among the kings in the assembly the next morning, he would be unable to accede to Yudhishthira's request. Vidura understood the king's position. He knew his words were having little effect and decided that Dhritarashtra needed to hear from someone more spiritually potent. After having spoken to the king for several hours, and he said finally, "I am a Shudra, O king. I cannot instruct you further, but I know of someone who can. The saintly Rishi Sanat Sujata has instructed me in the eternal Vedic truths on many occasions. I will invoke him and he will appear to speak to you. That sage has lived a life of perpetual celibacy. His words are powerful and pure. With your permission, I will call him." Dhritarashtra assented. It means he knows it's right. If he had the strength, he would do it. But he doesn't have the strength because of his attachment. So then maybe the stage will be able to instill some strength in him. The Rishi divined Vidura's thoughts by his own power, and he came there at once. His body shone with a brilliant luster, and he carried a water pot and a staff in his hand. Vidura received him with due rites and offered him an elevated seat near the king. When the sage was sitting at ease, Vidura said, "O Lord, the king has doubts I cannot clear. If it is your desire, please instruct him in the ancient truths as you have realized them. Only you can free him from duality and help him become fixed on the path of virtue." The Rishi, who was clad in a black deerskin and had matted locks of hair, nodded. Seeing his willingness to speak, Vidura told the king to place his questions before him. Dhritarashtra said, "O Sanat Sujata, please guide me. Pray tell me how I can attain to the highest end of my life. Death comes to all beings, but I hear that you know the secret of defeating death. How should I act that I might not be forever subjected to birth and death in this world?" Sanat Sujata replied, right, so here, not being subjected to birth and death means you solve the problem by going to a higher platform of consciousness. In the modern context, through technology, people think that, you know, that we're going to somehow or another extend life and live forever, though we've not seen it work on anyone. But, you know, they talk about it. You know, they even went with the cloning thing like that, and they found out when you clone something, its life is shorter, because let's say you take someone who's going to live for, you know, 50 years, and when they're 25 years old, you clone them, then what you clone will only live for that other 25 years. So, again, you know, they're baffled at every step. So, like this, he's looking for, you know, what does the Shastra say? How to raise the consciousness above this? Sanat Sujata replied, "You have asked how death may be avoided and eternal life attained. Listen, O king, and I shall instruct you to the best of my knowledge. It is said that actual death is ignorance. Where there is no ignorance, there is no death." Right? So death is ignorance because you think you're the body, that's why you die. You think you're not the body, you don't die. It means because you're the soul. The soul doesn't die. Body might die, but you don't die. When you identify with the body, when the body dies, then you feel, "I am dying." Where there is no ignorance, there is no death. He who is ruled by lust, anger, and greed is ruled by Yamaraj and will see the great God again and again. Falling into all kinds of hells, he suffers unbearable miseries. Then he rises again and takes birth among the animals and men in this world, once more beginning the cycle. One who controls the senses, however, and does not act on their dictates, is saved from this suffering. To such a man who checks his mind and senses, death offers no threat. Therefore, you should avoid all sensual desires and cultivate knowledge of the eternal soul, which exists separately from the senses and is different from the body. Right? So the senses, the body, the mind, all the soul is separate from that. They're above that. You know, Dhritarashtra asks, what regions do those who control their senses attain? How should just a man act in this world? O sage, I am not satiated by hearing you speak only once. Sanat Sujata sat cross-legged on the golden seat, his two hands held in front of him with forefinger and thumb joined as he spoke. Right, because this is the mudra when you're making a point. And you see that on the BTG, there's that little round picture. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. You show a circle like this. But on the BTG, the header, then you see Prabhupada sitting there, and he has his hand like this. He's speaking like that. So that's the standard thing, how you do. When you speak, you're making a point, and you say this. If someone then has a doubt, and they have a count, but you're saying this, but then you speak this way. But you're saying this and not that, and then having said that, the other person then will speak like this. You know. O king, one should perform sacrifice and penance aimed at pleasing the Supreme Person. If you do this, you will attain the supreme eternal regions from which you will not return. Step by step, one should progress along the path of knowledge, never thinking himself to be the material body, and always acting to attain spiritual progress, right? Because if you worship the Supreme Person, then you'll attain to the spiritual realm, where life is eternal. If you just approach the Supreme, you can get to the place in between the spiritual and material worlds. That's just the Lord's Brahman effulgence. And then at that point, you can be there temporarily. But then, because the soul by nature is Sat-Chit-Ananda, that means Sat means eternity, Chit means knowledge and action and willpower, and Ananda means happiness based on exercising those other aspects. So you'll want to engage those things, because if you're absorbed in Brahman, you're only absorbed in a part of the Sat aspect. And so Chit and Ananda aren't addressed. And so at one point you want to deal with those. So when you do, if you haven't cultivated relationship with the Supreme Person, and therefore with the spiritual world, you'll come back to the material world, because then you'll have a material body, material qualities, material mind, you can do material activities. But if you move forward to worshiping the Supreme Person, then you develop spiritual qualities with your spiritual mind and intelligence and senses, and then do activities in connection with the Supreme. That you can do eternally. So he's pointing out is that, you know, that's how you have to move. Dhritarashtra flinched as the sage continued. The aged monarch already knew these teachings. He knew the sage spoke the truth. Dhritarashtra knew that his own actions had been far from submissive to those instructions. Worse than that, however, he knew he was unlikely to change. You know, he's hearing these things, so that's always a piety. But at the same time, as he can't act on them, that's sinful. No doubt he would have to perform much asceticism and penance to atone for his sins. Maybe then he would finally be able to apply the saint's instructions. It seemed for now, destiny was moving him to act in ways contrary to good advice. Feeling helpless in the face of his own weakness, Dhritarashtra went on questioning the Rishi. Sanat Sujata could also see the king's inner feelings, but he continued to address him for his ultimate welfare. Because he'll hear these things, and at one point he'll be able to apply them. Right now he's attached to Duryodhana and everything, but when Duryodhana is destroyed, then he'll only have these teachings left. Then he'll be able to apply them. It was up to Dhritarashtra to choose his own course of action. The sage knew that all he could do was make clear the consequences of the various courses available to the king. Dhritarashtra listened as Sanat Sujata described how the Supersoul pervades the universe and resides in the hearts of all living beings. The king asked, how can one come to know that Supersoul? The Supreme, who is known as Brahman, can only be known by one who has attained the same spiritual nature as him. That nature is obtained by the practice of serving the spiritual master, studying the Vedas, observing celibacy, practicing asceticism, and abstaining from violence towards others. Gradually, one will become free from the material nature's influence and become situated in his original spiritual nature. Then by meditation, one can know the Supreme. So these religious principles, then they situate yourself in a pious position in which you're not doing anything that will go against spiritual life. But at the same time, is you do need to cultivate, like you said, that original spiritual nature, which is service to the Lord, right? It means the nature of the soul is service. That's the inherent, you could say, religion of the soul. It always serves. You know, so here in this world, you know, you'd be serving family members, serving friends, serving community, serving, you know, your, in your occupation, the boss, this and that, or serving the senses, serving lust, anger, and greed. You're always serving, you know, and if there's nothing to serve, then Srila Prabhupada makes the point that then you get a pet and serve the pet, you know, like that. We'll say it's for my enjoyment, but you perform your nature as servant, and then you enjoy. Right? You know, you take your dog out for the walk, you take him to the bed, you give him a bath, you do all these things. All this is service. And you spend so much money. You know, you have to feed him. The dogs don't go to the pantry and get out their food, pour it out in the bowl, you know, put the top back on nicely, put it away, you know, like that, fill up the water bowl, then sit down, then get there and then eat. No, you have to do it. You serve. So this service you have to do. And so when it's understood is, since I have to serve, why serve these temporary masters when I can serve the eternal master, the supreme Lord? And so therefore then these two go. So religion, all these various aspects of religion are helpful, because then you're in a pious position in which it's more likely that you will surrender to the Lord. Right? If you're sinful, the tendency is you're not going to. But if you're pious, then there's the opportunity that you can. So that's why all these are recommended, because they're all meant to pull oneself away from trying to enjoy the senses on the material platform to engaging the senses on the spiritual platform. Dhritarashtra was intrigued. What form does the immortal and omnipresent supersoul have in this world? Is he white, red, black, or some other color? What are his attributes? He may appear as any color, but he is not like anything within your present experience. He is the form of the universe, but simultaneously appears in the heart in the form the size of your thumb. Means the whole universe is him, because it's his energy. But within that, he can appear himself the size of a thumb in the heart of a living entity. So, therefore, for every living entity, what is the size of their thumb, that's how big he is. So for an ant, it means what would be an ant thumb, that's how big he'll be in the heart of the ant. For an elephant, it would be that. You can say, oh, but they don't have thumbs. But it's in proportion to their body. Right, because there's all proportions. So according to that, then he's that size. Everything rests in him, and he's absorbed back into them. And is absorbed, it means everything rests in him and is absorbed back into him at the time of dissolution. He is without duality, and yet from him springs the infinite varieties of creation. His arms and legs are everywhere, yet he is still. He sees everything and possesses all knowledge. No one is unknown to the Supreme Being. Returning to the king's question about how to know the supersoul, the sage further described that behavior elevates one to the spiritual. You know, what behavior elevates one to the spiritual platform? He went on to explain about the nature of Brahman and the state one experiences when he attains that nature. Sanat Sujata spoke until the rising sun filled the king's chambers. Seeing that it was daybreak, the rishi concluded his discourse and stood up to leave. Vidurus touched his feet, and both he and the king thanked him for his instructions. Sanat Sujata then vanished, leaving the two men to prepare themselves for the assembly. Right? And so then that discussion was over, and so now the day is broken, so you know, so that means now our daybreak has come, so now they'll go take their bath, prepare, go to the court, you know, after the morning duties, and then the court, then they'll hear what it's going to unfold. But we can see the next chapter is called Panic Among the Kauravas. So we get an idea, a subtle hint of what's going to happen. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada Gita.